Welcome to the X-Men Test Podcast. My name is Willie Simpson.
My name is Sonia Rappaport.
And today we are discussing the episode Reunion, Part 1, the 25th episode overall, the 12th episode of Season 2, the penultimate episode of the second season of the X-Men Test Podcast. Sonia, we have a special guest today, don't we?
I love that word, penultimate. And yes, we do. Hello, would you like to introduce yourself, special guest?
Hey, everybody, I'm Dash Coombs. I'm a knucklehead that is friends with Willie and Sonia. Here I am.
Dash, we are so happy to have you here to discuss the X-Men TAS show.
I am so stoked.
Oh, cool.
I was a big fan of this show when I was a kid. So super duper into it. But I haven't seen it since... since the early 90s. This is the first episode I've watched in decades.
How does it hold up?
Oh, gorgeous. Pristine.
Well, hold those thoughts. We have a lot to talk about. Before we go, just to give us a few more memories of that you had of the show growing up as a kid in the 90s, you know.
Oh, man.
Any
well,
other cartoons
my,
you like?
My back? Mother still makes fun of me for the theme song lyrics that I would make up on the spot while watching the show.
And here they are.
Yeah. It was very rudimentary, but I would just sort of sing... the character's name as they appeared, right, like yeah. Wolverine.
You know, it's like even more like, I'm not saying that's pathetic, but what I did that is...
Please don't, that's all I have.
It's more pathetic is like, when I was in my early 20s, I like binged the West Wing. I just got wit.
Nerd.
Yeah. And I would sing the characters, well, not their names, the actors' names during the West Wing theme song, too, in my head.
Oh, wow. So we have the same sickness. Yeah.
I can't even remember the theme song, but, you know, Martin Sheen. The sort of to the X-Men theme. So Reunion, Part 1, the penultimate episode, so your favorite word, of Season 2, what a long, crazy road it's been. And so essentially, you know, we started watching this episode and we saw the kick-ass recap, the previously on X-Men introduction. And basically it was all like what Professor X and Magneto have been up to in the Savage Land this whole season. So, to catch people up in case this is their first episode or they don't remember, Professor X and Magneto were summoned to Antarctica for some reason. Antarctica, as Professor X likes to pronounce it. We had a lot of beer and pizza. There might be a lot of burping. I apologize. And so, you know, it was all trapped by Mr. Sinister. And so they were captured in Antarctica. Surprise, surprise, has a secret place called the Savage Land, which is like this humid jungle where dinosaurs and cavemen still exist and other sort of like extinct beasts from the...
Three horns.
From
and,
millions of years ago.
Saber-toothed tigers.
Right. Triceratops and brontosauruses and things. So they've been... And the thing about them being trapped there, they don't have their powers. We learned why in this episode, and we... but... as a weird consequence of them not having their powers, Professor X's paralyzed legs, his shattered spine is suddenly healed.
Miraculously.
Yeah, and he can walk around. So he's not, like, he's not being carried on Magneto's back or something. So that's an interesting detail. So they've been, in the entirety of Season 2, the X-Men have been on their own in New York on their various adventures, while Professor X, Magneto, Magneto the villain, of course, but now reluctantly teamed up with Professor X's friends. So that's what the situation is. And now, basically, we're going to get the thrilling conclusion of, like, the storyline. Will the X-Men find Professor X? You know, what's going to happen?
Will they ever get out of this savage land?
Right, this savage land. Right. The episode starts with Professor X, Magneto. They're doing some extreme mountain climbing, some like really dangerous, like cable free scaling of really shaky rocks.
Some serious Tom Cruise business.
Yeah. I mean, Professor X at one point has to like dodge like some falling boulders with one hand. You know,
yeah.
They
don't even have any carabiners with them.
Right. Yeah. wait, no, what?
The metal clips.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they're called. Okay, no, I don't know what it's called. Okay, cool. Yeah. And I thought Professor X was quite like limber and athletic, considering he hasn't had his legs in presumably decades.
Yeah, it's the magic of the Savage Land.
Oh, so that's what you're ascribing to his, like, mountain climbing prowess?
It's almost like that cool wheelchair device that he's in is just sort of, like, massaging his muscles in there at all times.
Yeah,
like,
I see.
Keeping the atrophy away.
Yeah. So, yeah, right. His legs never were atrophied because of that nice wheelchair, yeah.
The sharper image.
Yeah.
All right, so they're climbing this mountain. The whole purpose of that is that they're trying to reach the ship that Professor X arrived in. He said, I had a feeling that it survived the crash. And Magneto says that's a miracle, and surprise, it has survived. But it's at this moment, just when they're about to be safe, they're ambushed by the mutates. Sonya or Dash...
I'm so excited to see this in person, Sonya, if you would.
Please describe.
Are we talking about amphibious?
Yes. Is that our favorite mutate, amphibious.
Our favorite slurping mutate?
Yeah.
Well, the creepiest thing about amphibious is that he has these muscular man legs that do not match his frog body. Nor his slurping voice.
I like his one line where he says, we were going to leave you here to perish like the dogs you are. I forget what the context of that was, but
yeah.
He's a joke a minute, amphibious.
Right. Well, as you pointed out while we were watching, he does have, like, a disproportionate amount of the dialogue from the mutates. Like, it mostly goes to him, which, yeah. Like...
Right on. Why? For the production team. They knew that he was... he's the funniest character to listen to. He's had my attention for 25 years now. He's held my attention, I should say. And there's some other mutants there. There's that, like 4 or 6-arm guy we've seen before in a previous episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget, we named him in a previous episode. I can't remember his name right now. It's okay. He looks like a barbarian or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's Vertigo, who makes a return.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's wears
straight out of Swingin' London.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like in this really like fashionable 60s go-go cut of a dress.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the power of like of disseminating like really like groovy concentric circles of like vomitous vertigo-ness. I don't know. Is that a good description?
Yeah.
So right. She shoots out kaleidoscope like circles that cause you to be super nauseous and get the sensation of vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
So she's there.
And like a Wendigo. I know there's there's a hero called Wendigo.
Also a villain too.
Maybe he's just a villain.
I don't know.
Like
he's probably crossed
really...
over.
But I feel like this isn't that
it's not
character.
Him. No.
Okay.
No,
yeah.
Someone else. It's hard to imagine how that would be used for good and not evil. But...
yeah. So you're talking about this like white wolfy guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of in the amphibious mold because he also is just wearing really tight underpants.
Right.
And nothing
else. He gets
else.
No lines.
No lines. And then I think that's it. Yeah. So that's the team of mutates that they ambush Professor X and Magneto so they can't escape the Savage Land.
And they want to take them to the Master.
Right. So, and we know the Master is Mr. Sinister. I mean, it's not... They play it up in this episode like it's some big reveal. Well, I guess because Professor X doesn't know who Mr. Sinister is yet, or who the Master is.
Mm-hmm.
And Dash, I can't forget about this Professor X line you reminded me of, where he's talking to Magneto and he says, there's so much I don't know about this savage land. It's like, what's so funny about that? It really tickles me. It's like something out of like a 50s movie, maybe, just the way
someone
would describe something like that. But I don't know. That's just a funny line, I thought. So anyway, they're captured again. It's like the whole – what's happened to them this whole season is that every time Professor X and Magneto are about to like – get somewhere, they're confronted by these mutate people, and they just have to make a daring escape. This time, they can't make an escape. Well, not right away, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because watching from the bushes is their next savior, right?
Right, yes. But let's hold on that.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Right, that's right. actually, I wanted to mention, like, part of them being ambushed, they're attacked by what Magneto proclaims are Sky Riders. And they're basically like cavemen dudes from the Savage Land that are riding pterodactyls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had the thought that I thought, like, what a shame it is that pterodactyls went extinct. because in the Savage Land universe, they were tamed by humans to ride. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if pterodactyls didn't go extinct, I wonder if humans could have tamed them in, like, reality. And we could have had, like, the horse of the sky for thousands of years. And that would have, like, changed the course of human events. Guys, your thoughts on this?
I feel like Sonya had a strong opinion.
I just want to disagree with that sentiment. I do not think that it would have gone very well because they wouldn't be, like, exclusively domesticated animals, right? Like, I'm thinking about them as, like, larger versions of birds of prey.
Oh, right.
Right?
So it'd be terrifying.
Like, oh, yeah.
It could be both, is the thing.
So, like, turkeys would rip our throats out if they were a little bit bigger.
Okay, well, so, I mean, that's half, that would be half the story. The other half would be some brave, like, ancient peoples would go to a pterodactyl nest on a tall mountain and steal some eggs and raise them from birth.
Oh, you've been watching that movie about Mongolian eagle hunters, no?
No.
Oh. But please go on.
I just intuited it somehow.
Well, that's what I was imagining. It's like there's eagles out in the wild,
right.
And, like, if you're much smaller than the eagle, like, you know, a rodent or something, like, those eagles are terrifying.
Right.
You know, they're, like, really brutal hunters.
Right.
So, like,
so we'd be but rodents to the pterodactyls.
It's possible. That's all I'm saying. Right.
So it'd be a world where you'd have both domesticated pterodactyls and, like, really scared ones that snatch your baby. So,
it sounds like a nightmare, yeah, either way.
Either way, it's interesting. So, I don't know. I just think that'd be cool, though, if pterodactyls were domesticated, like,
and you could ride them around.
At, like, how far could they fly them? Would they have discovered new lands, you know, sooner than we did? And, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so that's the whole opening. And then we cut to back the X-Men. They're flying around the Blackbird as they do, and they get some kind of desperate message from our old pal Morph, who's been sort of out in the wild too this season as well. We've discovered in the season that Morph was not killed. Mr. Sinister saved his life after the X-Men thought him dead. But now Morph has sent some kind of desperate message to the X-Men, and they fly off to somewhere, and they discover that Morph is, like, having this one-man show at, like, in a carnival. Dash, do you want to go into this a little bit?
Was it all a ruse? Not to get too ahead, but all of a sudden, Morph, and he's going by Murph, the cleverest.
Just change it by one letter.
He's passing himself off as this human named Murph who is performing some sort of one-man show at a carnival, a production of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where seemingly it's a 4-minute play, right, where he drinks, like, the potion and then with his powers can transform.
Yeah, it's like a real short one-man show, like just like the famous scene from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Oh, I thought he was
like you've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Well, but he's in a circus tent and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was like the freak show, you know? It's like they do and then, like, he goes off stage and then there's like the snake charmer or something on. And
but this,
like,
is a fan. This is a pretty. It's a little fancier than a freak show.
Yeah.
This just got to be fancy. Why not?
Yeah.
Do they have, like, Shakespearean or Edwardian style acting?
Yeah. Maybe they're really holding out for Hank McCoy to come do a number from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, that would be his. That's funny. Yeah, that would be his other job if things didn't go quite as well for him. He'd be reciting Shakespeare as the Beast. See this beast recite Shakespeare. But, yeah, so he's doing this one-man show, and it seems
Wolverine sniffs him out right away. Yeah. Right. Like, there he is.
And Wolverine just wants to grab him off the stage. Cyclops has the presence of mind to let him finish his performance.
Yeah, I want to see how this plays out.
I think maybe he's never seen it before. but Cyclops a little less rude than Wolverine. But also it's seen that the show's quite popular. The people
are
really
big turnout.
Yeah, an audience.
Yeah, packed tent.
Yeah.
Another detail I picked up for the first time ever, I never noticed this before, is that they're in Australia. They fly all the way to Australia, which is a long flight. and they don't even mention it, I don't think. But we see in the, like, background of this carnival that there's, like, kangaroos and koalas.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a little subtle detail I never noticed.
Yeah, one clue.
Yeah, one clue. That's
it's weird. I wonder why it had to be there. Like, you don't meet any characters that are Australian. Nobody's, like, speaking with an accent.
There is one.
One?
One of Mr. Sinister's goons who we meet in a minute.
Oh.
Like, the goopy purple man.
Uh-huh.
He speaks with an Australian accent.
Oh.
So this is, like, a homecoming for him. him.
It just, but like, it just seems like, why? Like,
you know what? Okay, I just realized why. Because Morph has been traveling the ends of the earth, sort of, to like find himself. When we last saw him, I think Wolverine was tracking him down in the Amazon rainforest. So Morph's really just like, globetrotting to like get away from the brain damage Mr. Sinister has done to him.
It must be hard to find yourself when you're a shapeshifter.
You know? Yeah.
Like, who am I?
Yeah. It took you a second to realize. And speaking of shapeshifters, we kind of mentioned it too, but I think like best actors would be shapeshifters. Like, if you're like, if you're a mutant actor, you can make it in this world as a shapeshifter. That'd be really, your versatility would be through the roof.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Or it would make you like a bad actor because you're relying on your shapeshifting too much.
You'd use it as a crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. All right, so anyway, Morph's giving a performance. The X-Men visit him backstage, and he's like, "Be quiet, you idiots. You're being watched." And Wolverine's like, "What are you talking about? We would never be stalked." And it's at that moment that Wolverine sort of grabbed from underneath the tent by that stretchy, goopy man, and he's like, he sticks his claws in the ground for like dear life not to be dragged away. But I thought that was kind of funny, too. It's like, Wolverine, you're only just being dragged outside. You're not, like, being dragged into the pits of hell. You know what I'm talking about?
He's slowing it down.
Okay, yeah, that's true. He's just taken by surprise.
Mm. That's just instinct, too, I think. If you've got kitty cat claws, you're going to, dig them in whenever. Like.
All right, fine. I just thought it was a little, like, he was struggling a little too hard, you know, to stay in this one room as opposed to the great outdoors. Anyway, fine, guys. So they tangle with Mr. Sinister. He was ambushing. Morph was used as a pawn in this case. Like, it's revealed that Morph's like, he's torn. He seems to be regaining some of his like mental freedom, but he's also still being controlled by Mr. Sinister. Mr. Sinister has this button on his arm pad that he presses and attacks Morph's mind and makes him evil. You know, whenever it's convenient. So. It's an ambush. At first, the X-Men are pretty good at finding them. Cyclops does a pretty good job just blasting the shit out of everybody. And as we pointed out in a previous episode, Mr. Sinister is kind of invulnerable, except to Cyclops' optic blasts. So we see Cyclops take charge. He's blowing everyone away. But then, I guess at the last minute, they're overtaken. Morph backstabs them. And Jean Grey is captured. So, and this is like one of the funniest moments to me. I always remembered as this is a something I noticed as a kid that it's not just a snarky, like, you know, adult man-child observation. Was that so? Jean Grey is being captured on Mr. Sinister's like really impressive jet, which who knows how he got that.
It's like organic, almost. Yeah. It opens up. It looks like it's got a rib cage in there.
Oh,
The door closes and it's like skin closing up. And it's really strange.
It's a it's a nice magenta color, which you can't get in jets that much these days.
Your bio jets.
Yeah, a biogenetic techno jet. Anyway, Jean Grey's... it's gross. Jean Grey's captured. The jet's flying away. Cyclops is like, no, Jean! He rips off his sunglasses and starts shooting this plane that's flying at, like, 400 miles an hour. And he hits it. You know, he causes damage to the wing. And he keeps shooting at it. But Cyclops, bro, your woman is on this plane. Like, one more hit. It's either exploding or crashing in a way that you cannot save Jean Grey.
No way.
He is not thinking straight. He is too filled with rage. And, you know, but he doesn't, you know, of course, doesn't mention it. Mm-hmm. And Wolverine does his best to calm him down. So, but I just thought that moment always just stuck out to me that Cyclops endangered Jean Grey's life more than Mr. Sinister was in that moment. So, funny moment. Sonya, you're looking at me funny.
Funny moment.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So now, back to the jungle. This is where we meet Kazar. Now, Kazar is this blonde-haired, muscular jungle man. He's got this saber-toothed tiger named Zabu, who is, like, almost, like, as intelligent as, like, a person. You know, this saber-toothed tiger can seemingly understand, like, everything that Kazar is talking about.
From what I vaguely remember, he got blasted with something, some either mist or a ray or, you know, one of those things you can get blasted with in the Marvel Universe, and he's got, like, basically human intelligence.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I had read a few, like, issues of the X-Men in the Savage Land, but I never came across that detail. Oh, that's interesting. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's
Zabu rules.
Yeah, Zabu rules. Kazar is real lucky to have him.
Yeah!
He's like the ultimate dog.
Because Kazar doesn't have any, like, mutant abilities, right? He's just, like, an extremely strong human.
Yeah, he's just, like,
he's
a really...
the Tarzan of the Marvel Universe.
Yes. Yeah, he's Tarzan, yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting him. So anyway, Kazar and Zabu notice that Professor X and Magneto are being led away in chains by these mutates, and he does an ambush. It's revealed that Kazar has his own business with Magneto. Basically, Magneto is revealed throughout the course of the season and this episode that he's been doing experiments and other weird things in the Savage Land himself years ago, and he's made a lot of enemies there, including Kazar. So Kazar wants his own revenge on Magneto, so he takes it upon himself. He rustles up a bunch of Triceratops, who, as Dash, you mentioned, he calls them three horns.
Oh, yeah.
and they lead a Triceratops ambush on this mutate party. They rescue Professor X and Magneto, but Kazar quickly says, "I'm not here to rescue you," and shoves a dagger in Magneto's face. And it's there that, you know, we're filled in more in this backstory, Magneto's long, you know, dark history here in the Savage Land. And it's also, it's sort of revealed in this moment, too, that Kazar's wife, Shauna, has been kidnapped, which we saw in the previous episode. So I'm doing a lot of plot explaining, guys. This is like this episode is action packed. There's a lot.
Yeah, they're really everything's coming to a head.
Yeah, they're tying up all the
loose
ends.
They're not messing around whatsoever.
Yeah, and this is where Amphibious, once Professor X and Magneto escape, my favorite Amphibious line in the entire show's history. He goes, "The Master will not be pleased." I just say that to Sonya, like, casually, like. I forget the context in which I say that to her at times.
But, like, waiting for a dinner to come from delivery. Yeah. It's taking too long.
Yeah, right. If, like, you know, like, we haven't paid our bills on time. Yeah. Something of that nature. Another weird detail I want to bring up. Professor X's eyebrows.
I cannot believe this is the first time that we're discussing his eyebrows.
Why do you say that?
We got into so much detail about, like, all the costumes and the weird, like, colors and all the things. His eyebrows are, like, to me, like, one of the most distinguishing features of his face.
Easily, yeah.
Easily. And they're crazy. And he's not the only one that has them, if you notice.
No, who? Who else?
Storm has those eyebrows sometimes. Yeah. Like, various characters, like, get those eyebrows in certain scenes, and I think
like real pencil-drawn eyebrows.
Yeah, they really, like, slope down in the center.
That's a good question.
I think it conveys seriousness.
Does Professor X have alopecia, maybe? I mean, he's completely bald, right? So maybe he draws on his own eyebrows.
Well, are they even hair, or is it just the way his skull, like, the shadow of his skull and skin?
Yeah, right.
That's what forms his brows.
Maybe, yeah. So, yeah, maybe he is, like, completely, completely bald.
I think so.
Wow, that's interesting. No, I think he has eyebrows. I don't think...
They're just really wisps thin. Yeah. Of super long, gross hair.
Anyway, that was a fun diversion.
It was funny.
Completely irrelevant to anything we're discussing here. Despite Kazar hitting Magneto, they agree to team up to rescue Kazar's wife. So they're going to raid the Citadel. There's a Citadel in the middle of the Shadowlands. Savage Land, not the Shadowlands. That's something else. In the middle of the Savage Land... I like how Kazar draws, like, the Citadel in the dirt.
Yeah.
And then, like, Zabu comes over to, like, see what's going on with this plan. He's like, "Gather around, everybody. Yeah. You too, Zabu.
Zabu, you're running point on this."
Yeah, exactly. "Zabu, you're going to enter from coordinate X." Yeah. Zabu's like, "Yep, all right." Yeah, he's like, "What if they're Sky Riders?" Anyway, so they're going to raid the Citadel. They're riding, like, some... The Citadel is, like... built in the middle of, like, a very tiny island in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
Magneto, so it turns out Magneto built it. And he said, I had great plans for the Savage Land. Like, who knows what those plans were? I mean, I guess probably making, like, another mutant paradise or something.
Yeah.
You know, that's always his goal. Like, he, you know, later in the show and in the comics, he has Asteroid M, which he makes as a haven for mutants. Do you know what Asteroid M is? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's like that asteroid.
A haven for mutants.
Right. Yeah. Well, he builds his own asteroid in outer space. It's pretty cool. Anyway. Another underrated power of Magneto is he can, like, fly in space by himself. He just, like...
Is that right?
Yeah, I think you see him do that. Like, he just makes a magnetic bubble around himself and, like, shoots off into the orbit. Magneto's pretty cool. Yeah. He's got a lot of power.
I won't debate you on that.
Right, yeah.
He is pretty cool.
Yeah. So anyway, as they're riding to the Citadel, Professor X is a very heady line for a kid's show that I always appreciated. He says, Magneto's saying, I had great plans for the Savage Land. And Professor X says, the ambitions of powerful men usually bring strife to those that they would improve. Which is, you know, a very true statement that, like, you know, people who are really up their own butts with changing the world often turn into, like, horrible supervillains, you know, despite their own intentions. So that's what's going on as they're raiding the space, and then Kazar like burns Magneto with like a real insult too. Like Magneto is like not getting any love from anybody.
Yeah.
Do you remember what he says? He says something like, I think Magneto Professor X says, there's a chill wind in the air tonight. And Kazar says, not as chill as the wind that's been blowing since Magneto was last here. And Magneto just, like, stares daggers into Kazar's face.
I think that was right after Kazar got a mean Brontosaurus to run away.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. He goes,
yeah. The Brontosaurus like perks up like
I gotta go.
Time to go.
My meeting.
Yeah. Kazar is real connected with the animals in this jungle. Anyway, their raid on the Citadel is a complete disaster.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah. Magneto thinks they have some secret entrance that's going to give them an advantage, but really all the villains are just waiting for them in the lobby of this one place. Like, where else would they be?
Yeah.
Magneto's so surprised that they're there. He's like, watch, you're in the one room? So that happens. So Magneto and Professor X are captured yet again for like the 20th time this season. Kazar quickly just runs away.
Yeah. They got the baby man shows up.
Well, yeah, so tell us about who comes.
A voice from behind them appears and... They turn around, you know, he's like one of those classic villain voices, like, you fools, you fools.
I was about to say, not going to do the voice.
And they turn around, and there's this really sassy baby man called Brainchild?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's got, like, a very strange body.
It's pronounced Brainchild.
Thank you.
He rolls those R's.
Yes, if I could do it, I would.
Right. So Brainchild captures him. Professor X thinks that he's the master.
Right.
And Brainchild is not having that. He's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And it turns out the master, of course, is Mr. Sinister. And Mr. Sinister explains how their powers have been drained this whole time. He's used a piece of Sauron, this pterodactyl guy, his tissue, to suppress all the powers with some... you know, satellite broadcasting his DNA somehow through radio waves. And everyone else is protected with these, like, snazzy white belts. At this point, Morph, again, like, has a change of heart. He starts shooting at Mr. Sinister, but he's quickly captured, and they're chained against the wall in this weird sex coven that I think is going on here.
Chains that are not chains. They're, like, vines. Like,
slimy.
Intelligent slime vines.
Yeah. Voice-activated slime vines that come through the wall. And then Sauron then takes over Professor X's mind, So for the purposes of sending the X-Men a video message saying to meet them in the Savage Land, which I feel like if you just sent the X-Men like a message from Mr. Sinister or whoever, even yeah, Brainchild.
I have them. Yeah. You better come
and
get
here's the
them.
Video.
They still come.
You didn't need to take over his mind.
Yeah.
And to the point of almost killing him because Morph says, "You're destroying him."
Yeah.
Which again is the, you know, they really are reluctant to say murder or kill in this show.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they
but we all understand by now. That's the code for, right. like...
savagely killing somebody.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it was funny watching this, you know, seeing the action and the violence, how it was played out for children. Like, even early yeah. in the episode when the Sky Riders come at him, they make sure when Professor X gets the better of them and, like, throws rocks at them, they fall in water. They're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody died yeah. or anything
well,
like that.
We've seen that. Like, rocks are not that big of an opponent of the X-Men because oftentimes many characters get crushed with piles of rocks or just walls from buildings
yeah.
and they emerge okay. Like, even in one episode, we saw Storm, who's got no super strength. She's buried under an avalanche of rocks and she comes out relatively unscathed. So,
yeah.
there's something in the mineral content in this X-Men universe. It's not quite as, you know, rocky as it is in the real world.
So the X-Men get the message. They duh, know it's a trap right away.
But I love that scene setting it up. So, you know, half the X-Men are at the mansion. The other half are coming back from Australia.
Yeah.
And they, like, they... And Jubilee's like, "Hey, guys, how's it going?" And they just ignore her. And Cyclops and Beast have this, like, beat where they stare at each other's face, and they're like, "Dash, you want to do this with me?"
Oh, wait, what was the line? I can't remember.
I'll just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, "We have to talk." They say that at the same time, and it's, like, serious business time.
Yeah.
They pile into
the
jet.
No, I think it's, "We need to talk," which is, like, okay. a very small shade of a difference, but
right,
it's, like,
yeah.
isn't that, like, the code word for, like, "We're about to break
oh,
up"?
Oh, yeah.
Guys, we saw some shit in Australia. My girlfriend's kidnapped. I had enough being an X-Man.
Yeah.
It's over, all right? Professor X has been gone for 2 months. The world hates mutants.
It just hit, like, such an adult level.
Yeah. So the X-Men are off. Like, things, shit's getting real exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They fly off. I mean, and man, like, the jet lag on Wolverine and Cyclops, at least, they just flew
off. Doesn't faze them.
No, it doesn't faze them. But, I mean, I just...
Well, Wolverine, I guess, would... He probably can't get jet lag.
That's right. His healing factor.
Yeah. Wait, actually, I'm sorry to go so far back, but that reminds me. He has this fantastic line early in the episode when they're going to see Morph, where they get the message,
yeah.
and he's like, "If that's not Morph, I'll eat the Blackbird."
Yeah, we need more, like, dialogue from Wolverine just, like, traveling. Like,
yeah.
things he might say. It's like, because that just made me think, like, I feel like if I had healing factor, I'd just be constantly bragging to people, like, "You know what? I never get jet lag."
Yeah, right. Well, and he probably could eat the Blackbird
yeah.
without
yeah.
much trouble, right?
It would
presume,
be painful.
Right?
He feels pain.
Yeah.
He'd shit that out very painfully, piece by piece. But
but it ultimately would not affect him,
yeah,
right?
Stomach and colon would repair itself. You know,
cool.
If he choked on the...
Wolverine's so cool.
Yeah. I feel like other stuff you might say is like, "You know why I smoke so many cigars?
Yeah.
I'd never get lung cancer."
Yeah.
What a bragging right?
Like, all the little stuff in life that he just... It's like, "You know when I stub my toe? Doesn't, like,
yeah.
it just hurts for, like, a split second."
Yeah.
It's like, when I get out of bed in the morning, sometimes I just jump out the window and fall on my neck. And it just heals in 1 minute. It's honestly, it's like, it's so much easier than just going down the steps. You know, it's like, oh, and the other thing, I mean, his bones don't break because they're covered in adamantium, too. So he doesn't even have
right.
to wait for his bones to heal. You know, so that's, like,
yeah.
part of it, too. It's like, he, you know, he's had a long, interesting life. It's like,
yeah.
the, you know, the other thing,
yeah,
I
yeah.
really,
to say the least.
I'm 290 years old, but I look like I'm 40. I do not have to rub lotion in my skin. I never get sunburned when I go
oh,
to
man.
The beach.
He's
yeah.
got too many pals.
He should be bragging more.
Yeah.
That'd be funny. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that,
true.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, he kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, this line is funny also because it's like, he's not saying it to anybody. He's kind of making a bet with himself.
Yeah.
Like, That's why people are just so annoyed with him all the time.
Yeah. Everybody has stopped listening to Wolverine completely.
Yeah. It's like, I never get food poisoning. All right. Anyway. You know, I've never once gotten diarrhea. All right. That's enough. So this episode ends on a cliffhanger. The X-Men are finally going to save their old pal, Professor X. So that's how it ends. So, any last thoughts on this episode, ladies and gentlemen?
Action-packed,
yeah. Yes!
I'm very excited for the conclusion.
Yeah,
much has already gone on, and I know even more is about to happen.
Yes, right, yeah. So we're all on pins and needles for what happens next week, which is aptly called Reunion Part 2. It's at this point of the podcast, I'd like to remind everyone to subscribe to us if you haven't already. Rate and review us on iTunes, 5 stars. It really goes a long way to increasing the visibility of the show on iTunes.
It's so easy to do, too. It took me 90 seconds to do it. And look, now I'm a guest on the show.
Yeah. See, the perks of being nice to us. We'll put you on.
Yeah. If you like this show, it's the barest minimum you could do to support it.
Oh,
you should.
That's so nice of you to say. Also, if you like the show, you can reach out and talk to us on the X-Men Task Podcast Facebook group. We are quite willing to talk to anyone who says anything. So we're like an open book. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Willie Simpson. Dash, do you have anything you'd like to plug or throw yourself out there in social
media?
Yeah.
I play in a hot rock and roll band called Secretary Legs. Some music online. We have a new album coming out in like a month or so, but there's other stuff you can check out. I'm very proud of it. You should find us online. Don't just Google Secretary Legs, though, because that make sure you add band in there, unfortunately. Or, you know, whatever you want to do. But yeah, Secretary Legs, that's across all the social medias.
Well, hopefully with a podcast like this, your band's going to get so famous that when Secretary Legs is Googled in the future,
moon, baby.
It's not even going to like be a question. Number one search.
If you like rock music, check us out.
And which we do. So we will be checking that out. Sonia, do you have anything you would like to plug? Just more of MPB.
Yeah, hopefully we get lots more of him in the next episode.
The master will be pleased.
It makes me want to eat soup dumplings for some reason. All right, so that's all I got for this episode. I'd just like to say goodnight to everybody.
Goodnight.
Goodnight.